Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be unto us all. Since Pastor Harold is away today, we take a break from the sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. Today's sermon's title is, as we can see from the screen, read the title, Who Needs Encouragement? And this is based on Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Who needs encouragement? From a Roman prison cell, St. Paul wrote these words, Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That's verse 1 and verse 4. Just like the children's message given by Elder Stephen, there's also a story about helping others for encouragement. The story is told about an overworked mother who was not able to get all her preparations done before guests arrived for lunch. She really wanted this lunch to be special. Her little daughter, Mary, decided to encourage mother by helping out as mother left to get an item at the store. Mary was asked to make tea from some tasty and expensive tea leaves. When mother returned, the guests had just arrived. They had already begun drinking the tea little Mary had prepared. Oh, said mother to Mary, Where did you find the lost tea strainer? Mary replied, I couldn't find the strainer, mother. But that was no problem. I used the big fly swatter, and it worked just fine. Her mother nearly fainted in front of the tea-drinking guests. Mary could see mother needed more encouragement. So she added, It's okay, mother. I used the old fly swatter. Encouragement. Who here today does not need or appreciate encouragement? Let's talk about encouragement. The church at Philippi really needed encouragement. Paul was writing to them from his cell in a Roman prison. This new little church that gathered in Philippi was likely discouraged. They suffered constant persecution by those hostile to the Christian faith. There was disunity in the congregation. St. Paul, who had started this congregation, was far away in a Roman prison, awaiting execution for his fearless preaching of Jesus. He missed them, and they missed and needed him. And Pastor Paul writes these words to these people who needed encouragement. From Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, we read, Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete. By being of the same mind, maintain the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who among us does not need encouragement today? Pastor Harold said that as he was trying to write this sermon about encouragement, no less than 4 different people came to see him, and each of them needed the same thing, encouragement. Discouragement is so easy to come by. It's been said that discouragement is the devil's best tool. An old legend described it this way. The devil was cleaning house and was selling his tools to the highest bidder. All his tools were displayed: hatred, envy, jealousy, deceit, and the rest. Apart from all this was a rusty, dull, old tool, much used and beat up, yet priced much higher than all the other tools. Someone asked the devil what tool it was. "That's in discouragement," was the reply. "It's so worn because I use it with everybody, and very few people know it belongs to me." The devil's price for discouragement was so high, it was never sold. He is still using it. We need encouragement. We need encouragers. We need to be encouragers. And the Bible has a wonderful example of a flesh and blood person who lived to encourage others. Today, let's meet this man named Barnabas. His very name in Hebrew means son of encouragement. We will see in his life and ministry 5 marks of an encourager. Note your sermon outline. 1. An encourager sets aside his personal rights for others. From Acts chapter 4, verses 36 to 37, "Now Joseph, who was called Barnabas by the apostles," which translated means son of encouragement, "sold some of his own land, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet." Barnabas sold some of his family land and gave the purchase price to Jesus' apostles to support their gospel ministry. He did not cling to his personal rights and personal wealth, but he focused on the eternal needs of others. This is actually the biblical definition of love: to give up my rights for another's needs. And here is the first mark of an encourager. Next, an encourager stands by others in their time of need. Acts 9, verses 26 to 27, we read, "When Saul came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing he was a disciple of Jesus. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described how Saul, now known as Paul, had seen the risen Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus and how he had been speaking out boldly in the name of Jesus." The Jerusalem church was very afraid of Saul. He had to this point been a terrible persecutor of Christians, hired by the chief Pharisees to hunt down and destroy any who professed faith in Jesus. But now Saul had a new name. His new name is Paul, and was a follower of Jesus and wanted to serve him. But the people did not trust him. This would have been like Adolf Hitler coming to a synagogue for worship, or Osama bin Laden coming here on a Sunday. Yet Barnabas stood by Paul. He believed in Paul and brought him to the very inner circle of the apostles. And you know the rest of the story, who Paul became and what he accomplished as the greatest of all the apostles of Jesus. Standing by others is a second mark of an encourager. 3, an encourager focuses on the positive. The next mention of Barnabas is when he is a leader in the new church in Jerusalem. He was sent by them to examine the new and controversial church in Antioch. Acts chapter 11, "The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. He witnessed the grace of God in Antioch and began to encourage them with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord." Anyone could have focused on the negatives of this new Antioch church and said, "It needs this and this, and the people are not doing this and this." There are people like this in our homes, workplaces, and churches. They constantly focus on the negative and drag others down. Surely Barnabas saw shortcomings in the new Antioch church, but he's gladdened by their small successes, and he encouraged just them to remain faithful to Jesus, focusing on the positive and thereby helping others to do better is a third mark of a Barnabas, an encourager. Fourth, the fourth mark of an encourager is to encourage faithfulness in others. The best type of encouragement comes not by just saying, hang in there or try harder. The best encouragement reminds you to be faithful to God and then watch Him care for you. Acts 11, verse 23 told us this. Barnabas began to encourage them with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. The result of this encouragement to the church in Antioch? Verse 24 tells us this. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Or were brought to the Lord. Fifth, an encourager is one who promotes others. Acts chapter 11, verse 25 to 26. And Barnabas left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And he brought him to Antioch, and for a year they met with the church and taught them. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Barnabas went to Saul's hometown of Tarsus to bring him to the Antioch church. This was a risky matter. Risky for Barnabas. For Paul was talented, well-known, and a strong personality. The risk was for Barnabas to jeopardize his own status as the leader of this church. But encouragers strive to promote others, not protecting their own status. And note this in Acts chapter 13, verse 43 and the following. Now when the meeting had broken up, many of the people followed Paul and Barnabas, who were urging them to continue in the grace of God. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly. Did you catch that? Notice what happened. In Acts chapter 11, we were told Barnabas and Paul met with the church. Now in chapter 13, the name order is reversed. Paul and Barnabas did this. Paul and Barnabas did that. Paul is now number one, and Barnabas is number two. Encouragers promote others and are willing to take a back seat so others can be in the spotlight. And now, some words from Paul's prison letter to the church in Philippi, from Acts chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men. Jesus gave up his divine rights and the glories of heaven for our needs and our salvation. He literally crucified his personal rights for our needs, to pay for our sins, to die our death, to destroy the power of sin and death for us. Here is the biblical definition of love. Give up my rights for your needs. John chapter 3, verse 16 declares, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. For God still loves the world. For God still so loves you. Be encouraged by this. And Jesus, God's Son, was faithful to you and to the world unto death. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Do you ever get discouraged and believe in the lies of the devil or the sinful world when they whisper in your ear, does God really love you? Have you then ever ask yourself, does God really love me? Never answer this question on the basis of your own rapidly changing feelings or circumstances. Look to the cross of Jesus. See there, God's love for you. In the flesh and blood of Jesus, who gave himself for you. Be encouraged by this. The cross of Jesus shows you how precious you are to God. Finally, Paul tells us this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. For this very reason, God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is risen from the grave and victorious over sin, death, and devil for you. He is daily with you always, and also is exalted in the highest realms of heaven, where he ascended after his Easter victory. And that same heaven is yours, your eternal destiny as you entrust your life to him. Be encouraged by this. Your eternal victory is won. Heaven is your home. A story is told of two generals from long ago. One went out early at daybreak and found a sentinel fast asleep on guard duty. He promptly stabbed him in the heart and left a note on his chest. I found him asleep and let him so. In another time and place, another general discovered the sleeping sentinel. He gently, without waking the man, finished his guard duty. Upon waking, the soldier begged for his life. That general said, "Be at peace. The secret is mine. Let your heart be encouraged. I only ask you to do the same to another soldier sometime in your life." The lies of the devil and the sinful world would destroy us with discouragement for our failures. But Jesus, our general, never ceases to come to us with his forgiveness, his love, and his encouragement. May we, like Barnabas, the son of encouragement, adopt a life of encouragement for the sake of others, for Jesus' sake. In the name of Jesus, amen.